Thank you for choosing the podcast of East Haven Baptist Church in Brookhaven, Mississippi. For more information on the ministries of East Haven and to access videos and sermon notes from our services, visit www.easthaven.net.
As you can tell, we're going to observe the Lord's Supper in just a moment, but I want to share a message before that that I pray prepares us all for coming to the table. Jesus left this as a reminder for what he's done for us. He came and lived a perfect life. He died on a cross and he rose again so we might have abundant life and eternal life. We put our faith and trust in him. He gave us two ordinances. One is believer's baptism by immersion after you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. And the other is the Lord's Supper. And this is something that we do on a regular basis. Here at East Haven, we do it probably once a quarter. Sometimes it's a little bit before that or a little after, but that's the general time frame. Just as a reminder, and a church of Jesus Christ is to do that until he comes back for what he's done for us. The bread represents the body of Christ, and the juice represents the blood that was shed for us. So what we do is we invite those that have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ to participate. And those that may not have made that decision, we pray that you'll make the most important decision in your life before you leave this time of worship today. If you have your Bible, I want to encourage you to turn to Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel is where we have landed for a series of messages. We've got several more that we're going to walk through before we end this particular series. It'll even take us through Easter. And what we want to do today is we're going to look at the life of David. We've looked at men and women in 1 Samuel, and we'll look at some in 2 Samuel. What we're doing, in case this is your first time, we're taking characters in the Bible, in those particular books of the Bible, the Old Testament, and we're taking a peek at their life. We're looking at how they lived, how God used them, the mistakes they made, God's grace in their life, and we're using it to understand how it applies to our daily lives. Many have made parallels between David, that's where we are today, and Jesus. Jesus was called many things, and one was the Son of David. Why? Because the lineage of Jesus went through David ultimately. It is a foreshadowing, David's life was, of the cross of Jesus Christ, the primary king and shepherd of all, our shepherd, if we have a relationship with him. Well, you know, in studying the life of David, that he was a shepherd. He was a shepherd boy when he went to fight Goliath. That's the familiar passage that we're going to land on today. And we're going to unpack that from a high level instead of digging deep because of the time frame that we have today. What I mean by that, one of our series that we went through on Thursday mornings with our Hungry Men group was we looked at David for 2 months. And so we cannot cover his whole life, but we can cover a familiar passage, hopefully in a different or a fresh way, and understand how it is a foreshadowing of Jesus and the fact that Jesus was the ultimate shepherd who gave his life so that we might have life. Now, what I want to do is I want to look at several passages here. And if you've got your listening sheet or you look on the screen, you will see that there are specific verses for application of each major point in your outline. Now, what we want to do is we want to consider how to address giant problems. Now, it might be that you're not going to go to work tomorrow and face Goliath, 9-foot-9-inch fella, that's dressed up in armor and is trash-talking you. But more than likely, tomorrow or the next day or the next, because we are depraved And because we live in a fallen world, you're going to have a giant problem. Somebody has said you're either going into a storm in the middle of a storm or coming out. Socrates has been given credit for saying once many years ago, be kind. Everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle. And so I would say it is true. Some of us have lived long enough to know that stuff happens. Sometimes it comes out of nowhere. It might be you planned this day and you thought, all right, I'm going to Sunday school or not going to go this time, but I'm going to go to worship. I know where I'm going to eat for lunch. I know where I'm going to watch on TV. I know what I'm going to, and you've got your day planned, and it might be all of a sudden already something's happened to you that you weren't expecting. And so we're going to look at this in that kind of way. So knowing that most people know the story of David, the shepherd boy who went to check on his brothers, and all of a sudden he found this giant man taunting King Saul, as well as his brothers, as well as others. And this wasn't just a minor problem. This wasn't because it was a problem with one of the foot soldiers. This was because the king, as well as others, were allowing this giant to have his way and to make fun of God and to say, hey, is there not anyone that would come and do battle and fight with me? Most of you are familiar with the passage, so let's pick up here, and I'm going to guide you through several verses. In 17, you've got verse 11. On hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. There you have it. There it is in Scripture where it says to us, they weren't having anything to do with it. They were terrified, dismayed, scared of this man and who he represented. He didn't represent God. Now look at verse 32. David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of the Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. Now, I skip through the time where he's asking questions about what's going on. He asked his older brother, hey, what's going on here? And his brother said, you know, like, hey, you're a little boy. You're a shepherd boy. Get out of here. And this is where he goes to King Saul and basically says, hey, I'll go fight him. Verse 38, after finally agreeing to let him go, he's then, verse 38 says, then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet in his hand. David fastened to his sword over the tunic and tried walking around. Because he was not used to them, in other words, the sword and the armor that David was asked to put on by Saul, because Saul thought, this is the way you do it. I cannot go in these. He said to Saul, because I'm not used to them. So he took them off. He took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling and in his hand approached the Philistine. Then you see in verse 18, beginning with verse 6, when the men were returning home, after David had killed the Philistine, you know what happened. He defeated him. He fell over. He went how he had killed the lion and the bear, not in the King Saul's garb and armor. The women came out from all the towns of Israel to meet King Saul with singing and dancing and joyful songs and with timbrels and lyres. And they danced, they sang, Saul has slain his thousands, and David is tens of thousands. Saul was very angry. This refrain displeased him greatly. They have credited David with tens of thousands, he thought, but me with only thousands. What more can he get but the kingdom? And 18 verse 9 says, and from that time on, Saul kept a close eye on David. How do you face a giant problem? In your listening sheet, the first point that comes out of the text is this: a loser avoids problems while a winner confronts them. You see that in the verses we read in chapter 17, verses 11 and 32. Now, I don't want you to know, I don't use this word loser to be harsh. I'm not trying to be harsh here. When we say loser, we mean someone who's supposed to be a child of God, who's supposed to be assigned by God a particular position, who at one time was all on track, but began to lose spiritually in life because he began to think he was all that instead of realizing he's God's instrument. He's only a tool. That's what I mean when we say the word loser. And Saul avoided the problems while the other confronted them. Sometimes that happens with our problems. Now, I'm not talking about things that are insignificant. I'm talking about weighty issues. Now, there's a time and a place when we can let things go, but there's a time where God convicts us of things that are significant, and we confront them in the right way and at the right time. King Saul had turned into a loser. Now, it was a gradual fade. He did well at first. Remember, we studied King Saul. But over time, he got weak. He stopped paying attention to his convictions. And it was a gradual fade. He never had a course correction. Y'all, he should have been fighting this battle with Goliath. He was the king. King Saul and others had been listening to this guy for 40 days, and he didn't stand up for what was right. John Maxwell, leadership guru, once pastor said, everything rises and falls on leadership. King Saul should have been the one standing up and confronting him and realizing it wasn't him, it was God, and that God would honor him and help him. This problem was 9 feet, 9 inches tall. That's a giant problem. And he had a giant mouth taunting or trash talking, as some would say today. So why did David do this so quickly? I believe it was because of his love for God. Now, there's other things. We know he had a great past. He had some victories. Bottom line, he loved God. Verse 26 in chapter 17, David asked the men standing near him, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes his disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that should defy the armies of the living God? He's saying, wait a minute. I know he's big and I know this is a giant problem, but he's defying Jehovah God. Who is this? Why is this happening? Isn't anybody going to confront him? He loved God with all his heart, soul, and mind. That's when we follow our convictions and we're willing to stand up for what's right. We're not concerned about what people think, what they say, trying to be a people pleaser, trying to be popular. No, when we have an intimate relationship with God like David did, he was quick to stand up and trust God, and he confronted him. David took his love for God, his past experiences, and his deep conviction for doing what is right, and he charged ahead. Friend, if you're here today and you're confronting a huge problem, and I don't know what it might be, but it might be that you know exactly what your giant is. And it may be God speaking to you and say, you have postponed this, you have set it aside, you have wished it would go away, and I know now, or you know now, I'm going to address it and trust God. Secondly, we see this, and this can help us. A loser only sees his way. Meaning somebody assigned by God, a Christian, when they start doing things their way, he only sees things while a winner sees it God's way. We saw that in verses 38 through 40. King Saul tried to prepare David for battle by loaning him his armor. He tried it on out of respect, but soon let him know he couldn't do battle that way. He had to do it God's way, how God had shaped him to do battle. I always like looking at this because it reminds me, be me. You be you. And I'll be me, who we are in Christ. No past to sin like we want or live like we want, but understand that God has shaped all of us differently. Some are extreme extroverts. Some are extreme introverts. Some are right here in the middle with a leaning. God can use all of that. Some have great spiritual gifts, exhortation, administration, service, mercy. If you're a Christian, there's a spiritual gift there. Maybe several, probably. And then you have certain abilities. Some of us can sing by ourselves and some of us can't. Some can play an instrument. Some can turn on the radio. It's God uses. Some have had a great upbringing in church. Some have not. God takes all of that and somehow in the sovereign will of God meshes it and puts it together and he uses it by his grace. And so Saul is saying, oh, you got to put on my armor. And David's walking around like, I can't go in these. This isn't me. Give him a slingshot. Give him a stones. I'm going to go be me. So we see these things about David. Doing things God's way, it might be different from the past, so be willing to change. Don't compare yourself to others when God made you by design. We can be so guilty of that. Whether you're a teenager, you're a young adult, median adult, senior adult, no matter what we are, if we're not careful, we look at television, we look at social media, we look at those around and we think, oh, if I was just so-and-so, if I could do this, or I look this way, or I had this degree, or all that, do your best with what you got, but trust God and don't compare yourself to other people. That could be miserable. Seek God regularly so you will know where he is leading you with your giant problem. 1 Samuel 17:47 says, it's the Lord's battle, and he knew this due to his intimate relationship with Christ. Psalm 139, David wrote verse 23 and 24, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. God's way is always the best way, even when it's not the easy way. Don't ever forget that. It's not going to always necessarily be easy. And then thirdly, how do we fight our giant battles? Number three, a loser is filled with insecurities while a winner has multiple victories. Why was Saul so insecure? Well, a couple of things I thought about. One is, we get this from the Bible, he forgot the battles weren't about him, but about God's team. Team players turn people loose and encourage them when they have a victory. Saul was jealous and he was insecure. When all the ladies and all the people started celebrating, there is David who's killed his tens of thousands. And then, well, there's Saul, King Saul, killed about 1,000. That's when it got jealous. That's when it set in. It's like, oh, man. He was insecure. people on God's team, we don't need to be insecure. We need to be our best, who we are in Christ. We have to fight the flesh on that. And we need to recognize we are God's team and everybody's different. But if somebody is helping save people, bring people to Christ, they fit in the doctrine and the boundaries of God and in the church of Jesus Christ, then we need to celebrate that. We're a team. We work together. We have different places and positions and gifts and abilities, but we need to be going in the same direction, not always agreeing with everybody, but understanding what the message is. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we go in the same direction. Saul forgot about that, and he was jealous, and he was insecure, and he wanted it all himself and not turn people loose and the attention on him. And then when David stepped up, it's like, whoop. Shouldn't have let him fight him. He got jealous. Why else was Saul insecure? He knew that he wasn't right with God. He'd been right. But over time, it was a slow fade and he drifted. And he knew that. So that's why he was insecure. A Christian living without a close relationship with Jesus is like playing baseball without a glove. It's dangerous, and it breeds insecurity. It's not a good place to be. Defeating Goliath was the first of many victories. Sure, David wasn't perfect. Only, by the way, only Jesus is perfect. He uses weak vessels like us, and certainly me, at times by his grace. David wasn't perfect, but he was a man after God's own heart. Why? Because he was willing to repent and be broken over his sin and turn from that and move on and deal with the consequences, but realize I want to finish strong by God's grace. That's David, and that's why he was called a man after God's own heart. He wasn't perfect. He learned from his mistakes. He fell forward, and he had a lot more victories than losses. So in summary of this passage in our series, don't avoid your problem or it will get worse. Trust in God's way and not your own way. Change can be a good word, not a bad word. Give God glory when he uses you for success by his grace. Why? Because we're on his team. If we put our faith and trust in him alone. This today is a reminder of if we're on the team or not. As a matter of fact, Jesus took time to share with the disciples about this ordinance and what it was about. This is what it says in Luke chapter 22. And he took bread, he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then he said, in the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." God, help us to realize that when we have put our faith and trust in you, we're on the winning team. It's just sometimes, Lord, we don't act like it or we forget. So I pray that today, looking at the life of David compared to King Saul, we would be reminded of who we are in Christ in you. And that as we take and observe the Lord's Supper now, that we would just reflect, think, close our eyes if we need to, meditate on your goodness in our life. Sometimes, Lord, it's so easy to drift toward the negative instead of the positive. And we are a blessed people overall. So help us to remember that as we observe the Lord's Supper. In Jesus' name, amen.